Alrighty, Shabbat Shalom again.
Shabbat Shalom.
And we are going to continue today with the, I guess you could say a series of messages we've been doing on the sanctuary of Yahweh and, really taking that serious and becoming more like Yahweh. This message is called The Transformation to the New Man. This is technically part three, but even the messages we've been doing in between have somehow fit in with the overall theme of what we're doing, and I have one more message on this series to do after this. So I want to start in 1 Corinthians 2, because I keep going over the pattern about the physical comes before the spiritual. And when we started out the very first message, we were going over some, and sometimes physically it's easier, like we're just doing the Torah reading, and it's pretty easy, eat this food, don't eat that food, this animal is clean, this animal, and it's pretty simple. Sometimes it's the spiritual that takes more to understand the application and what it means. But one thing is certain, if you can't get the physical down, you're not going to get the spiritual down. It's that simple. And that's why we started out with the physical, and we'll see here as we get into this. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 16. It says, as according it has been written, eye has not seen and ear has not heard, nor has it risen up into the heart of man the things which Elohim has prepared for those that love him. But Elohim revealed them to us by his Spirit. And that's going to be the big key today. The transformation to the new man is by the Spirit of Yahweh. It's impossible to become the new man without his Spirit. But Elohim revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of Elohim. For who among men knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man within him? And we're going to see today you have two spirits. We know we're born with human nature, a human spirit that's contrary to the nature of Yahweh. And yet we know that if we repent of our sins and we draw toward Yahweh and we get immersed in the name of Yeshua and we believe in that and we have hands laid on us, then we know we get another spirit that comes within us. And we'll talk a lot about that. So also, no one has known the things of Elohim except the spirit of Elohim. But we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit from Elohim, so that we might know the things that are freely given to us by Elohim. So again, like we see, if you don't get the physical down, you're never going to get the spiritual. For the things which we discuss are not dependent on the knowledge of words and man's wisdom, but on the teaching of the Holy Spirit, thus explaining spiritual things with the spiritual minded. So again, for a lot of people, especially we get a lot of new people coming to the website, or even sometimes people, unfortunately, even in the congregation, they'll hear messages like I'm going to give today, and they'll think, oh, it's nonsense. You know, I'm sure people get tired of hearing me always downplaying the prince of the power of the airwaves, but it's hard to downplay when you look at the results. It's everywhere. It's everywhere here. And the results are only getting worse by the week. So, like I said, we're not dependent on the knowledge of words and man's wisdom, but on the teaching of the Holy Spirit, thus explaining spiritual things with the spiritual minded. But the material man rejects the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness to him, and he is not able to know them because they are spiritually discerned. So when I go to the Knesset, unfortunately, I don't get to share these things at the Knesset. I share important things with them, and Yahweh opens doors for his people, you know, and over here, but I can't open up the book of Corinthians or the book of Romans and share with them these things, because they would think, almost, we were reading the story, because we had the blessing of being in Caesarea this week, and we were reading about Paul, you know, when he's talking before King Agrippa, who is half Jew, and he's telling him these things and saying, I know you believe, King Agrippa, and what is best to say, Paul, you're mad. You're mad with your knowledge. He says, no, I'm not mad. I'm totally sane, you know. And then King Agrippa is saying, Paul, do you expect me in such a short time, you know, to become a believer? One of my favorite stories in the Bible. And he says, I wish not you, but everyone in the world to be as I am, except for these chains, where the physical meets the spiritual, you know. So even though he was spiritual minded, even though all of these books we've been reading for thousands of years, doesn't change the fact that he was in handcuffs in a prison as it's happening. So we really see it. But the material man rejects the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness to him, and he is not able to know them because they are spiritually discerned. But the spiritual man discerns everything, and yet no man is able to discern him. For who has known the mind of Yahweh that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Messiah. And you don't know how many times in my life, I'm sure it's happened to you also, that people that you don't know, that you never met, that meet you somewhere or see you or hear you, and all of a sudden, you get this look on their face and they'll say, who are you? Where is this coming from? Because it's the first time they're hearing Yahweh's truth, or maybe they see a miracle that's being performed, and they're wondering. You know, you see the lip come down, the mouth comes down. Who are you? Where is this coming from? But like I said, for the next hour or so, whether people that are hearing this later, if they're not spiritually minded, it'll be, okay, another sermon by Don. But if you are spiritual minded, and every one of us here, I believe, is trying in the right road, but none of us are there yet. If you follow, and I say this at the Bible school, and you all know everyone here has been there. I say, if you follow what I teach you at the Bible school without a shadow of a doubt, it works. We're doing it 10 years. I've been doing it for 30 years. The principles I teach, it works. I've never seen one situation where it didn't work. And I say the same thing today. If you take the words I'm saying from a spiritual mind, if you ask the Holy Spirit, open my mind and let me know what Don is trying to say, I will guarantee you 1,000%, not 100%. I guarantee you 1,000%. What I tell you today will change your life. It will change your life, and it will bring you closer to Yahweh in a way that you could never think possible. And like I said, we're living in a world where we're seeing the opposite happen. 1 Corinthians 9, go a few pages over, verse 26 and 27. Oh, sorry, 25 actually. And every man who battles in the contest frees his mind from something else. Paul is talking about our race being, or our calling being a race. And yet they run to win a crown that is perishable, but we to win one that's everlasting. So this is the message where the rubber is going to hit the road, where the physical is going to overlap with the spiritual, where we're going to see where we need to make these mandates. So I run accordingly, not as uncertainty, so I fight as not beating air. But I conquer and subdue my body, so that by no chance when I have preached to others, I might myself be disapproved. Like I said, I think I started these messages maybe a month ago, maybe a little longer than that, something like that. And I've gotten a lot of response, 90% probably good response and 10% a little in between. I don't think I got any bad response. But like I said, if the fact that I would say, because we're the sanctuary of Yahweh, Yahweh's spirit is dwelling in us, that we should be modest dressed, and somebody is fighting that, then they might as well close the Bible. They might as well close the Bible. And this will offend some people when you say that. And we'll see today that pride will stop you. If you're filled with pride, if you're not open to correction, if you're not open to hear the word of Yahweh come to you, then you're done anyway. You know, like it says, you're twice dead. You might as well go back to the world, do whatever you want to do. You know, go out and eat what you want to eat, wherever you want to wear and do what you want to do. Because you're going to go to the lake of fire. It's that simple. You know, and sometimes I may be bold, but again, I have to be bold because I'm accountable to Yahweh. And I don't want Judgment Day to have even one person. It won't help me if 1,000 people or 1,000,000 people make the kingdom and you warn them, but there's one person and they go, oh, you didn't warn that guy. Because it's, I fight tooth for tooth, life for life. So I got to be bold. If it, in the world we're living in, and we're going to see this today, it is the Laodicean era. The Laodicean is ruled by the people. And it is evil, it's wicked. And I don't call them brethren. I don't care. I don't call them brethren because they're not brethren. Some of them even have come in our midst. Some of them have sit there at the feast with us. Some of them have congregations in other places. But I don't call them brethren because they're not brethren. Because they don't believe in leadership that was set down by Yahweh. They don't believe in following the spirit of Yahweh. They don't believe in modesty. They don't believe in anything but whatever they want to do at the time. And the people that are going to go that way, they're going to go that way. You know, it's that simple. But we're going to see today, there's only one way. There's no trick. I don't have a pill in my pocket to come out and say, everybody take this pill, and then all of a sudden we'll be transformed. It's surrender. One word, surrender. It's surrender. It's surrender to Yahweh, as we're going to see as we go back to the very beginning. So like I said, we had to go through the physical first. Because if people are going to fight you on the physical, if they're going to fight you, like we went over makeup a few weeks ago. And like I said, you look in the Bible, you don't find any situation where it's something that Yahweh is praising. In every situation in Scripture, he calls someone a harlot who's wearing it. So again, each person's got to make their own decision. But why would I want to? If in the Bible it said that, you know, for a man to, like we said, shave his head, bald, you know, we were just going over that, that it's cultic. Why would I want to do it? Why would I want to shave my head like a bowling ball? For what reason? What reason? Do I want to look like the world? Do I want to, because everyone out there is doing it? We just read that, that Yahweh's word doesn't change. And you know what? There's a lot of people in this end time that are going to go into that lake of fire. So if you want to feel good about yourself and your pride, and you want to go in the lake of fire, then keep doing what you're doing. But if you really want to change, if you want to be led by the Spirit of Yahweh, then you got to surrender. You got to surrender. There's no other way. And it's me, and it's you, and it's everybody else hearing it. You know, there's no easy answer. It's a surrender of our soul to Yahweh. So let's go back to the beginning. Let's go to Genesis 2. Because this is not a new problem that has just come up. This isn't something that's only in the end time. I do say in the end time it's worse for a simple reason. And the reason being is that we have more ways to get the evil out quicker. I don't believe people are any more evil today than they were in the days of Noah. Everybody was evil. Yahweh had destroyed the whole earth in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. What did Abraham say to Yahweh? If you find 50 righteous, 45, down to 10, he couldn't find 10. So I'm not trying to say that necessarily people are more evil. People have always been evil. But what we have today, we have more avenues and more means to get the evil out quicker. But we'll see here. Let's go to Genesis 2 and verse 7. And Yahweh Elohim formed the man from the dust of the ground and blew into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living soul. That's Ha'adom, talking about the specific man, not just mankind, but who we would call Adam. And Yahweh Elohim planted a garden in Eden to the east, and he put the man who he formed there. And out of the ground, Yahweh Elohim made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the middle of the garden, also the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So we see here that there's two ways. You know, sometimes people think, is this real? Is it symbolic? I really don't think it makes a difference. I believe they were two literal trees because it says it. But even if you want to think it's symbolic, it doesn't make a difference because really it's not the tree that's the problem. It's what they represent. One is the tree of life, that's what? It's full surrender and following of Yahweh unconditionally. I always say that's all faith is. Faith is simply belief. It's simply belief. It's simply that because Yahweh said it, we believe it and you do it. It doesn't mean you're going to understand it, but you do it. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is something different, as we're going to see here. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil is that you as a human being, you will make the choice. And you're going to choose what's good and what's evil. And it's not based on Yahweh's word. Maybe part of it will be. Because like I said, when you get these people out there, you know, the people that are claiming the lunar Sabbath, there's parts of the Bible that they probably believe just like you. But when it comes to the covenant that Yahweh made, the seven-day covenant that goes on forever, you know, they're lunatics. You know, they're out there in left field. They're lunatics. They're going crazy by the moon. So the key is that when you're looking at it, it's an all or nothing. It's an all or nothing. And unfortunately, like I was saying before, when you look at Christianity, many, many Christian pastors use the Tanakh to do messages. They'll read a psalm, they'll read something in Genesis, they'll read something here. But they don't take it as a package. They'll read and twist the scripture that fits what they're trying to say, and then they'll throw out the scripture right next to it that's telling them what Yahweh's will is in the matter. And if we want to, and this is the beautiful part about it, because like I said, we're sitting in this room, and I would imagine most of the people that will hear this later are spirit-begotten people of Yahweh, which means the Spirit of Yahweh is living in them. And that's what we're going to see, the power of that. I'm going to talk about how Satan, that's why the one thing Satan wants to do, he wants to do an illusion to stop you from understanding that. But this is the key to it right here. Do you want the tree of life, or do you want the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? You got to make a choice. Because if you want the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that means you will continue to choose what's best. And you'll fail. And maybe go to the lake of fire, depending on your accountability, what you know. Because we know, praise Yahweh, he judges us on what we know. You know, so we can make mistakes, even the world. We know that many people aren't covenant believers. There will be a judgment day, and not all of them are going to go to the lake of fire. Because Yahweh will judge their heart. Many are called, few are chosen. But for the people of Yahweh, we have his Spirit. We have something that can transform your life. And it is blasphemy to the Holy Spirit, the only sin that there is no forgiven for. It is blasphemy to the Holy Spirit to have Yahweh put his Spirit in you. And now you do know. You do know because that Spirit tells you right from wrong. That Spirit opens up your mind. And I'll tell you, I'm sure you would agree with me. But when I study my Bible, all I do is read. So I'm reading, and then the Spirit of Yahweh is telling me what it means. And whether that means, it doesn't mean you can't use a concordance, it doesn't mean you can't use a lexicon, because we don't have all knowledge as human beings. But what it means is, it's the Spirit of Yahweh that's opening up your mind to the meaning of it. And that's why people with doctorates, with letters after their name, they can read this Bible every day of their life, and they come in with things that are absolutely absurd. The law is nailed to the cross. The Sabbath is on Sunday. Because the Holy Spirit is not speaking to them. Why? Because it's not dwelling in them. It's in us. It really is in us. And if we just shut our mouth, like Moses said, stand back and shut up and let Yahweh's salvation work. Stop trying to tell Yahweh what it means and let His Spirit tell you what it means. And that's the beauty of it. See, but we're living in a world, I'm going to show you exactly what's stopping it. But this is what we need to do. We need to stop grabbing from the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. And we need to allow the Spirit of Yahweh, because I'll tell you, 100% it will never mislead you. The Spirit of Yahweh will never lie to you. It will never tell you something that's not right. And that's why when Paul talks about, I wish you all speak the same thing, that you all have the same Spirit. It's not only possible, it's probable. It has to happen. Because there's only one Spirit. There's only one Spirit. And even if we don't speak words, when we are fully allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us, I can sit here and just meditate this message and every one of you will hear it. You'll hear it in your spirit. And it's happened before. We know it's happened. We know it's happened in the underground congregation. We know it's happened as far as places like China, where pastors are being killed and executed. And they had infiltrators in the congregation. And what would happen? They wouldn't say where they're going to meet on Shabbat. And everyone would go in their prayer closet and just allow the Holy Spirit to speak with them. And the Holy Spirit would literally tell them where the meeting is. And everybody would show up except for one, the infiltrator. Because the infiltrator did not have the Holy Spirit. And unfortunately, there are infiltrators in our congregations. We know it. Because that's what it says. Satan, the parable of the wheat and the tares. Satan has placed infiltrators in there. People that don't have the Spirit of Yahweh and want to bring up contention and strife. And we're going to see it. That's not Yahweh's Spirit. But we have to stand back and let the salvation of Yahweh come out. Let's go to Genesis 3. Because we're going to see now the turning point in humanity. I always joke, you know, not joke, but it's like a little riddle. You see riddles in the Bible. And I always say, how many parts is the Bible broken down into? And people will say two. The Old Testament and the New Testament, or, you know, the Tanakh and the New Testament. And I say, yes, it's broken down in two, but it's Genesis 1 and 2, and then the rest of the Bible. Because until man sinned, you have something, and then after sin, you have something else. That's the two parts of the Bible. So we see here, the serpent, verse 3, was cunning above every beast of the field which Yahweh Elohim had made. And he said to the woman, is it so that Elohim said, you shall not eat from every tree of the garden? Isn't this the way the prince of the power of the airway does to us? Asking us questions, getting us off guard when our mind is not strong in the word of Yahweh, trying to twist the word of Yahweh on us. And it's the same way that people will bring false doctrine to you. And they'll say, well, just read it, just look at it. No. If something is being twisted from the word of Yahweh, you don't want to hear it. And the woman said to the serpent, of the fruit of the trees of the garden we made, but of the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, Elohim has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, surely you shall not die. This is the false grace that's out there all over the world. You can continue to sin and there's no consequences. Love Jesus in your heart and everything will be good. But it's not what it says here. You know, the beginning of the doctrine of the mortal soul you have here. You know, the soul is not immortal. The soul that sins, it shall die. And that's why I say why I'm so fervent to myself first and then to others. Because it is life and death. It really is life and death. And there is no eternal life for sinners. It's that simple. So although Satan wanted to deceive Eve and say the same thing, don't worry, keep sinning, you won't die. For Elohim knows in the day you eat of it, even your eyes will be open, and you shall be as Elohim, knowing good and evil. So now he's even enticing, not just that Yahweh's a liar, not just that they're not going to die, but he's saying he's afraid that you'll know what he knows. Well, what blasphemy? What going against the first commandment? And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise. And she took of the fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband, and he ate. And the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed leaves of the fig tree and made girdles for themselves. And I said this before, the word cunning, the serpent was cunning, it comes from the same root word as they were naked. Same root word. The cunning goes into the nakedness. So what do we see here? We see, number one, it was the flesh that was not conquered, that was the downfall, right? And the physical comes before the spiritual. But if you go to 1 John 2:15, do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Because all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing, and its lust, but the one doing the will of Yahweh abides forever. See, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the tree of life. So what do we see here? We see here that the tree was good for food in Genesis. In 1 John, I just read, the lust of the flesh. In Genesis, pleasant to the eyes. 1 John 2, I just read, lust of the eyes. And desirable to make one wise, the pride of life. So it's the same thing today. It's the same thing today. That's why I say we got to guard our spirit from the prince of the power of the airwaves. Because we have hit such a dangerous time in the history of man. And it's been dangerous probably since the Garden of Eden. And it's been dangerous probably since World War II and a lot of things that are happening. But we're seeing something now on a worldwide scale that we've never seen before. You know, of course, like I said, there's been false deities. You have Chemosh and you have Dagon and all these. But at least people feared, even kings feared. You look at Nebuchadnezzar, who's a hard guy, but he feared some kind of deity. You know, he found out Yahweh is the only deity, but there was fear. Today, there is no fear in man of anything. There's no fear of anything. And mankind is seeking through knowledge. Knowledge and education, the wrong education, is what mankind is looking at as himself, that he has become the new norm. So it's not just that homosexuality and these other things are becoming normal. It's the fact that mankind now has completely withdrawn Yahweh from the process. You know, we're the weak people that we have to believe in some deity to tell us what to do. See, they evolved, and that's the whole point of the New World Order, that you evolve to be your own Elohim, and everybody makes their own choice of what's right and what's wrong. So we are at the epitome now. We are at the fullness of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the base of it is the internet. You know, the base is the internet. Because on the internet, you can find good and evil anywhere you want. And you can make good and evil out of anything. You know, no matter what you're looking at. It is the premise of the basis of good and evil. And yet, I see a growing of Yahweh's people to the internet. I don't see a growing of Yahweh's people to the spirit. And it's scary. It's scary because, you know, when you've been 30-something years in this and you've seen from this end to this end, and now you're actually seeing these things that 30-something years ago when you first came a believer you were warned about, it gets to be scary. It gets to be scary because, like I said, it's life and death. It's life and death, and there's no other way we're going to get around it. But the key to becoming a new creation in Messiah is going back to Eden. We got to go back to Eden. We got to redo what was done against us here. Because like I say, I feel 100% that the physical comes before the spiritual. That if Adam and Eve were made to live forever, there's nothing that ever said they would die until they ate that fruit, then their DNA had to be different. They had to physically change, just like Satan, to physically be this beautiful covering cherub to go to this evil, wicked demon. There had to be a physical change in him, as well as spiritual. And we need to go back. We need to go back. What started this? What started this evil wickedness that has brought us to where we are today? And it goes back to those two trees. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. And if there's one thing I don't think I would have ever have said, thought I could feel this way, to a point where I love life and I value life because Yahweh gives life and Yahweh takes life. But I have zero desire for life in this world. Zero, none. I don't see any good that can come out of it. You know, and it's how many days you have is up to Yahweh. But I don't see any good from this world, this system. The only good you see is that you can help to change it. That maybe you could help to change somebody's life. That you can do something to bring the kingdom of Yahweh. But what we're seeing, the same way Yeshua had a ministry for 3 years, and then the powers of darkness came, and it was part of the plan that Yahweh allowed it, you know, for a time. We're seeing that now. The powers of darkness will take over this world, and we're at the crux of it. We're at the crux of it. And Satan will, literally, physically, the physical comes before the spiritual. There'll be a human being that will be Satan incarnate. And all the world will worship him. And we're seeing, taking the mark and all these things that, like I said, have been talked about for years and years and years and years. We're seeing coming together. We're seeing it come together. So we need to go back to Eden, and the key is surrendering our free will from our wicked human nature to unconditionally following the Spirit of Yahweh. And I'll tell you why now more than ever. Because like I said, in the world we live in, and having so many things, you can only sanctify yourself to a degree. There's nowhere in the Scriptures, even in the end time, except of course, when the abomination of desolation happens, that we're told to run to the mountains. So Yeshua said you're to be in the world but not of the world. So it would be easy if we could all say, let's all go and live up in Iceland somewhere away from society, and that would be fine. But that's not the time for it. Because this is the time where we need to do our work. The people of Yahweh need to work and do exploits. And being in the world, even to a degree, it's going to affect you. It's going to affect you. People, all kinds of things will affect you. There's only one key to have it not affect you. Surrender completely to Yahweh. Surrender your will. Don't take free choice. Give him your free choice. Give him completely your free choice not to make decisions anymore for yourself. And you'll see a change like you never had in your life. How many people in here can honestly say they hear the voice of the Holy Spirit? I mean a voice. Not just that it might be inspiring you, or that's good, but maybe even an audible voice. I don't hear it every day, but I've heard it. But I hear the voice of Yahweh and his word very distinctly every day of my life. I hear it because when I open that book, like I said, I'm only reading words. The Holy Spirit is telling me the meaning of it. I get excited every time I give a message because I don't know what I'm going to say. And all of a sudden, as I start to speak, words come out. Sometimes I didn't even know I knew it, that they're coming out. But again, I'm a human being, like anybody else. And unless I take my way I'm interpreting it, because Yahweh can give me his truth, and I can interpret it incorrectly and take myself down a wrong road. And that's why I have to surrender my way of looking at it. And I got to allow the Holy Spirit to tell me. We should be doing this every day of our life. When you get up, when you go by the way, you know, when somebody's asking you a question, don't be, what does it say? Slow to speak, quick to hear. Right? Don't be so quick to say something. Don't be so quick to jump to a conclusion. Oh, you know what? That looks like this. Let the Holy Spirit tell you what it is. You've got to hear his voice in the time we're living in. You've got to. Because if you don't hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, when the bottom falls out, you are going to make every wrong decision. And that's why it's so important to go back to Eden. You've got to surrender your will to Yahweh. There's no other way. And it's the hardening of our will, which is pride, of not wanting to be wrong, of not wanting to humble ourselves, as we're going to see. That is the thing that will stop you. Totally without anything else. After baptism and the laying on of hands, the Holy Spirit is in us. But so is 99% of our human nature. So it's not just when you come out of that water and you have hands laid on you, and now the Spirit's in you, that all of a sudden it's going to do something. Because the Spirit of Yahweh guides us. It guides us and leads us, but you have to surrender to it. Yahweh will not force you. I put before you life and death. Choose life. You have to choose it. And that's why Moses said, stand back and be still. Be quiet. Listen to the voice of the Spirit. Our human nature is still there, and Satan will manipulate it, the prince of the power of the airwaves. And since the physical comes before the spiritual, he keeps most of us in the physical realm, and we never surrender to Yahweh and acquire the mind of Messiah. You know, when something comes up, you know, maybe whatever, the landlord comes in, I'm doubling your rent. What's our first thought? Let's pray. Let's ask Yahweh. Anything you're doing, anywhere you're going, and it's not just one big decision. It should be every little decision in our life. We have to seek Yahweh with all our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. Matthew 26:39. You don't have to go there. But it's where Yeshua is asking the Father if there's any other way. And what does he say? Not my will be done, but your will be done. And what we can't do is, which many who are reprobates do, they take the shell of the word of Yahweh and they manipulate it toward their own destruction and toward their own whatever, their own doctrine, their own whatever. So they're taking a little bit of truth and they're destroying it with error. The same thing Satan does. If you look at Satan, what did he say to Eve? Didn't Yahweh say he took the truth and he twisted it into a lie when he came before Yeshua? What did he say? Didn't Yahweh say, you know, he quoted scripture, but he twisted it. And the same way, sometimes we can be doing that not even knowingly. Because we could read something and we don't understand it and we're putting our own private interpretation into it. And that's why we need to go to the Holy Spirit and ask, what does this mean? What does this mean? Show me. And how do we know it's the Holy Spirit? The Spirit testifies against itself that we are children of Yahweh. Because the Bible interprets itself. So what the Holy Spirit will do is lead you to other parts in the Bible that will interpret itself. And it will put it together. Let's go to Romans 8. Because Romans 8 explains this so beautifully, probably more than any chapter in all the Bible. Romans 8 and verse 1. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those in Yeshua Messiah who do not walk according to flesh, but according to Spirit. How many times have the nailed to the cross people said this? When you try to tell them sin brings death, they'll read this to you. There's no condemnation in me. They're not reading the whole verse. Who do not walk according to flesh, but according to Spirit. This is what I'm talking about. When we allow our human nature to make our decisions, you know, when we allow pride, when we allow lust, when we allow addiction, when we allow envy to make the decisions we're doing, we're not being led by the Spirit of Yahweh. We're being led by the flesh, because the Spirit of Yahweh isn't that. The Spirit of Yahweh is love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering. So there's no condemnation to those who walk according to the Spirit. There's a lot of condemnation to those who walk according to the flesh. And why is there no condemnation? Because if the Holy Spirit is leading your life is relatively going to be without sin. Because the Holy Spirit isn't going to tell you something to sin. It's going to lead you into all truth. But you got to allow it to it. You have to ask to it. And you have to surrender your will to it. For the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Yeshua Messiah, set me free from the law of sin and death. Where does sin and death come from? From, again, making my own decisions. Doing it my own way, interpreting it my way. But when I allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, that won't happen. For the Torah being powerless in that it was weak through the flesh, Elohim sending his son in the likeness of sinful flesh and concerning sin, condemned sin in the flesh. So that's the weakness of the Torah. Is the Torah holy, just, and good? Absolutely. Is it perfect? Absolutely. But unless the Holy Spirit is opening up my mind to what it's saying, you know, I'll be like the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was reading the Torah every day, and where did it lead him? To killing believers, persecuting believers, supporting it, being against Yahweh. Because he didn't have the Holy Spirit to share with him what these things meant. So that the righteous demand of the Torah might be fulfilled in us, those not walking according to flesh, but according to Spirit. See, when the Holy Spirit is leading you, then you will be filled with love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, faith. You'll be filled with this because the Holy Spirit will be leading your actions. And it will be sharing that. For the ones that are according to the flesh, mind the things of the flesh. What are your deeds? What is your fruit? If your fruit is all worldly things, then you got your answer. And the ones according to Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's why I always say, you know, what sites are you clicking on? What books are you reading? You know, what TV are you watching? What words are coming out of your mouth? These are all the things that, it's all that is the proof of what Spirit is leading you. The Spirit of Yahweh or the Spirit of Satan? The spirit of human nature. Because the mind of the flesh is hatred toward Yahweh, enmity. For it is not subject to the Torah of Elohim and is not possible to be so. You have a billion Christians out there who think they're being subject to the Torah. And they have hatred for the law of Yahweh. Because they're being led by their own human nature. They don't even understand what love is. They don't even understand what grace is. They're using these as catchphrases to be disobedient and not change. But the wages of sin is still death. And those being in the flesh are not able to please Elohim. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, since the Spirit of Yahweh dwells in you. That's why I say our greatest power that we have is that the Spirit of Yahweh is living in us. And instead of fighting it every day, instead of chaining it up down there in your small intestine somewhere, you've got to let it out. You've got to let it free. You've got to let it lead you in all things. But if anyone has not the Spirit of Messiah, this does not belong to him. But if Messiah is in you, the body indeed is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of the one having raised Yeshua from the dead dwells in you, the one having raised the Messiah from the dead will also make your mortal bodies live through the indwelling of His Spirit in you. So this is what brings the resurrection, by Him living in you. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live to the flesh, you are going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the practices of the body, you will live. Counseled people for many, many, many years can't overcome this sin, can't overcome this lust, can't overcome this covetousness, can't overcome this pride for one simple reason. You're not submitting it. You're holding on to it. You don't know how many people that you give one word of correction and how hard they get. How hard they get. Why? Why? Don't we want to get rid of these things? Why do we want to hold pride and lust and envy? Why do we want to hold these things? It's because we don't want to give it up because we're comfortable. Because it's all we know. And in our mind, that's what's there. And we're comfortable with it. And we're afraid to get out there like Peter did, leaving the boat and get on the water. But you got to get in the water if you want to change. You know, because in the end of the day, when judgment day comes, there's nobody else there but you and Yahweh and maybe Yeshua. If you're a real believer, maybe Yeshua. But if you're denying Him now by your works, if you're denying Him in your life, if you're denying Him by everything you're doing, then when that day comes, that is going to be a scary day. When it's Yahweh the Father on His throne and you're sitting there and there's nobody there to defend you. And that's why we got to make the choice now. But if by the Spirit you put to death the practices of the body, you will live. There is nothing that Yahweh will ever allow you to go through that you cannot overcome. But you got to surrender it back to Yahweh. For as many as are led by the Spirit of Elohim, these are the sons or children of Elohim. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, which we cry, Abba, Father. And I will stop there. The Spirit itself witnesses with our spirit that we are children of Yahweh. So again, our accountability is different. You know, like Paul said, it's not for us to judge the world. Yahweh will judge them in their time, and there's less accountability because they don't understand it. But we have the Spirit of Yahweh. We know better. He's opened up our mind to the truth. And the biggest thing we have to do is overcome ourselves. We've got to overcome our human nature. Exodus 20 and verse 18. Because the thing that is missing in the Laodicean era is the fear of Yahweh. And like I said, in 32 years in the faith, I can tell you, I have seen such a dramatic change from when I was first being called to literally people fearing Yahweh to the point of doing anything to today where there seems to be no fear of Yahweh whatsoever. No fear of breaking Yahweh's commandments. No fear before Him. Exodus 20 and verse 18. And this is when Yahweh is giving the Ten Commandments. And He says, and all the people saw the thunders and the lightnings and the sound of the ram horn and the smoking mountain. And the people looked and they trembled and they stood from a distance. And they said to Moses, you speak with us and we will hear. And let not speak with Elohim that we not die. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid, for Elohim has come to order to test you. And so that His fear may be on your faces, that you may not sin. And the people stood from a distance, and Moses went near the thick darkness where Elohim was. And here it was. These people were literally scared to death to see the power of Yahweh that was there. They were scared to death, and you need it. Because the fear of Yahweh is the beginning of repentance, of knowledge, of wisdom, submission, everything. But if you don't fear Yahweh, if you actually, and I've seen it, believe me, I have people that come up to me, the first time they're meeting me, you know what the first sentence out of their mouth is? I want to tell you where you're wrong. That's the first thing that they want to say. Maybe I am wrong. But I don't think that's the way to start a conversation with an elder of Yahweh. I don't think it is. And you see it. You see such arrogance and pride with people today. And it's the Laodicean era. It's ruled by the people. And it's not only in the congregations, believe me. It's all in the world. You know, 20 years ago, will you see what's happening in Egypt happen? No. In Syria? No. In any of these places, you wouldn't have seen this rebellious spirit. And here it is. In Egypt, 1 year ago, they killed each other for democracy. They got democracy. They got free vote. They voted a guy in. And now a few months later, you know what? We don't like them. Let's get blood and let's get somebody else. Is that the spirit of Yahweh? No. It's not the spirit of Yahweh. There is no fear of Yahweh before their eyes. And if they don't fear Yahweh, they certainly ain't going to fear man. But we're going to see today, it's a big part of it. It's a big part of submission to Yahweh is to have fear before Him. And if you don't have the fear of Yahweh, just keep going on what you're doing. Because day will go into day, day will go into day, and you're either going to die or He's going to return, and that's going to be the end of it. But I'll tell you this much, we know in Revelation that there will be people cursing Him to His face and cursing Him for the plagues. But we don't see those people making it past Revelation. We don't see them in the new heaven and the new earth. And that's what we have to decide. Do we want to be part of eternity? Or do we want to live these last few years out in this society and get the best we can and then go to the lake of fire? I've actually had people tell me that. They don't care. They don't care. They said, fine. I'll live my few years here. I'm going to do whatever I can do. I'm going to get every lust. I'm going to get every good thing I can eat, whatever. And when I die, I die. I really don't care. So what? See, that's not people that value life. And that's the point. We need to value life because Yahweh gives life and Yahweh takes life. And He's given each of us a life to make a difference here in this world. But if we don't surrender it back to Him, every one of us is a prime candidate to take the mark of the beast and be part of Satan's system. In Laodicea, the fear of Yahweh is missing. Much pride, arrogance, unrepentant spirit. You hear very, very little out there about repentance from anywhere in almost any circles. What you hear is acceptance, and you hear reasons why. Oh, why the blaming someone. Oh, I had a bad childhood, I had this. I don't see that. I don't see King David sitting there with his sociologist on the couch telling her why he did this great sin with Bathsheba because, you know, his father didn't care for him and he was the seventh son and he never got this. You don't see that. You don't see psychology in the Bible. What you see is right and wrong, and you see sin and death or righteousness and eternal life. Let's go to Isaiah 40, because like I said, if we're ever going to allow the Holy Spirit to really work in us to become the new person Yahweh wants us to, because that new person is really Him. There's only one Spirit. He wants us to become just like Him. He wants us to acquire that Spirit within all of us and within our whole spirit. We got to learn the fear of Yahweh. Isaiah 40, verse 12. He says, who has measured in his hand the waters in the heavens by a span meted out, and enclosed in the measure of the dust of the earth, and weighed in the balances the mountains and the hills and the scales? Who has meted out the spirit of Yahweh? Or a man has counsel taught him? With whom did he take counsel, and who trained him and taught him in the path of justice, and taught him knowledge and make known to him the way of discernment? Lo, nations are as a drop in the bucket, and are reckoned as dust of the scales. Lo, he takes up the coast as a little thing. And Lebanon is not enough to burn, nor are its beasts enough for a burnt offering. All the nations are nothing before him. To him they are reckoned less than nothing in emptiness. And to whom will you liken El, or what likeness will you array to him? Verse 22. He who sits on the circle of the earth, even those living in it are like grasshoppers. He who stretches the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to live in. Verse 25. To whom then will you compare me, or am I equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and look. Who has created these? Who brings out their host by number? By greatness of vigor and might of power, he calls them all by name. Not one is lacking. Verse 31, but the ones waiting for Yahweh shall renew power. Renew power by his Spirit. Like I said, letting the Holy Spirit speak to us, not going on our own power. They shall go up with the wings as the eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. So we see here, the first thing we got to do is get right in our mind. I hear people have come up to me and tell me, they said, oh yeah, I was so mad at Yahweh, and I screamed at him. I'm thinking, wow, where is the fear of Yahweh? Where is the fear of Yahweh? No matter what trial, no matter what anything we go through, I'm just screaming, yell at Yahweh. You know, like a priest here that we knew, a very, very old man who was a priest for 40-something years in Jerusalem, and he said to me, he knew the name of Yahweh, a really interesting man. As a matter of fact, he knows many rabbis, and he said they have proof that the name is pronounced Yahweh. But he said, you just don't say the Creator's name. You just don't blurt it out. You say the Almighty Yahweh, the Everlasting Yahweh, that you give reverence to it. And part of taking the Creator's name in vain is not giving it that reference. It's not simply not using it at all. That's part of breaking the commandment. But it's also not giving reverence to the name. Because, like he says, Can you think about this? Everything you see, or you look at all those stars out there, the sun and the moon, you know, we're talking about how do you start your month? But Yahweh created those things. He didn't just go out there and tell us how to calculate them. He created them. He spoke and it was. Created light out of darkness. I mean, He is so great and loving and caring. And for us not to give the reverence to Him, where are we going with it? But that's what I'm saying. We've got to fight the Laodicean spirit. Because Laodicean is everywhere in society. It's in the congregation. It's in civil government. It's in the world. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. Ruled by the people. Ruled by the people. We will make our choices. And if we don't like them, we'll rip the people down. But that's not Yahweh's way. Let's go to Job 38. We're looking at the... Job 38. And Yahweh answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now gird up your loins like a man, for I will question you, and you teach me. Were you there when I founded the earth? Declare if you know understanding. Who has set its dimensions, for you know? Or who has stretched a line on it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who has cast its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of Elohim shouted for joy? Or who shut up the sea and the doors when it burst out? It came forth from the womb. When I made the clouds for a garment and darkness its navel band. And I broke my limit on it and set bars and doors. And I said, you shall come here, but no further. And here your proud waves shall be set. Have you commanded the morning from your days and caused the dawn to know its place, that I might take hold of the wings of the earth and the wicked might be shaken in it?" So here it is. Yahweh created all this. And I love when I see science, you know, every now and then they'll come out that they figured something out. And that's great. They're trying to figure it out. You know, it's Yahweh's prerogative to hide something and kings to find it out. But they're trying to figure out one minute point of something that Yahweh created. It's just that He doesn't know all this stuff. He created it. He created everything. And then in the end of the day, for scientists to say He doesn't exist, it's like unbelievable. But it's the Laodicean era. And that's why I say, you only have two spirits out there. None of us is an Elohim. None of us created ourselves. None of us have life inherit that we can give ourselves life. So you have two spirits. You have the spirit of Satan and the world, and you have the spirit of Yahweh. What we have is free will to choose what spirit we will surrender to. And all of these people that are self-willed, that I'll follow nobody and even deny Yahweh, they don't realize they're following Satan. They're following Satan because that's exactly what Satan says. He says, "I don't have any laws. You could do whatever you want if you come on my side." All he wants to do is take away your eternal life. That's what it is. Because he knows if we consistently commit even one sin, you break one, you break them all, you're going to lose your eternal life. And that's his only game plan, is to get us to lose life. Job 40 in verse 3. Job answered Yahweh and said, "Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer you? I will put my hand to my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will not go further." Job is starting. It took him 40 chapters, but he's starting to get the picture. You know, keep your mouth shut, Job. You're not going to equal with Yahweh. You know, if He took the air away from us, we'd all have about 3 minutes, give or take a few seconds, and we'd be dead. That we have to understand the greatness of Yahweh. We have to, in our prayer time, we have to glorify Him. We have to understand His greatness and our meekness. Job 42. And Job answered Yahweh and said, "I know that you can do all, and no purpose is withheld from you. Who is this hiding counsel without knowledge? So I declared, but did not understand things too wonderful for me. Yea, I did not know. I pray, listen, and I will speak. I will ask you, and you will make me know. I have heard of you by hearing of the ear, but now my eye has seen you. Therefore I despise myself, and I have repented on dust and ashes." And that's the way I think all of us come to. This is called true repentance. That you get to the point that you're just so sick of yourself that you can't take it when Yahweh takes that cover off and shows you what you really are. When you come to repentance in Him. But then how then do we pick up half of the old me and then go back to Him with it? It's an all or nothing. It's an all or nothing. You have to leave the old self behind and you have to move on from here. And like he says, despise myself and repent it with dust and ashes. And in the world we live in, like I said, where there's people out there that... will do every vile thing that don't value life at all. And for us, we have to value life. People really don't care, like I said, that they don't care if they live or they die, if they have any kind of eternal life. We have to value life because it's the greatest gift that Yahweh gives us. And He gives it to us with responsibility, and He gives it to us with a purpose. And the greatest way to value that life is to surrender our free will back to Him. Matthew 10:28 says, "Don't fear the one killing the body, but fear him who could kill the body and soul in Gehenna." There's got to be a proper fear of Yahweh. And that's why when we get angry, we should fear Yahweh because we're breaking a commandment. When we covet, we should fear Yahweh. No covetous person will be in the kingdom. When we lust, you know, we're breaking a commandment. We should fear Yahweh by these things. And that's what leads to repentance. The fear of Yahweh leads to repentance. But if there's no fear of Yahweh, what's going to happen? We're not going to repent. In the beginning, you might feel sorry, you might feel guilt, but as time goes on, you don't get yourself in order. What happens is that guilt and sorrow turns into pride. It turns into pride. And then the next thing is, you're not even feeling guilty. You're blaming other people because you're starting to feel guilty inside and you don't even know it. Fear him who could take your body and soul and cast into Gehenna. Philippians 2:12, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Read the whole verse here. "So then, my beloved, even as you always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much rather in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling." But in the Laodicean era, of where we're all equal, and, you know, the thumbs up like the Roman gladiators or the thumbs down, you know, mercy in, but now a year later, mercy out. And this kind, there's not a lot of fear of Yahweh. You know, there's this power of the people. We're taking it back. And I've talked to a lot of Israelis that say the same thing. They're going to fight the government. They're going to fight the people. And we're taking it back. This is our country. No, it's Yahweh's. Everything is Yahweh's. And we should just thank Him for the life we have that we're doing here. Deuteronomy 8. Says, "You shall be watchful to do every commandment which I am commanding you today, so that you may live and may multiply and may go in and possess the land which Yahweh has sworn to your fathers. And you shall remember all the way which Yahweh your Elohim caused you to go these 40 years in the wilderness, in order to humble you, to try you, to know which is in your heart, whether you will keep His commandments or not. And He has humbled you and caused you to hunger and caused you to eat the manna which you had not known, and your fathers had not known, in order to cause you to know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of Yahweh." See, bread sustains life, but only Yahweh gives life. Bread sustains life, but only Yahweh gives life. "Your clothing did not wear out, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. And you have known with your heart that as a man disciplines his son, Yahweh your Elohim disciplines you. And you shall keep the commandments of Yahweh your Elohim to walk in His ways and to fear Him. For Yahweh your Elohim brings you into a good land, a land of streams and waters and fountains and depths and springs and valley and hills." So we see the fear of Yah leads to obedience and submission. The fear of Yahweh leads to obedience and submission. And without, you can have the Torah, but if you don't have the fear of Yah and submission and obedience, then you're a traitor, just like Adam. You're a traitor to Yahweh. Yahweh has judicial order. Yahweh has structure. And if we fight that, if we want to be a Laodicean, if we want to keep our free will, then we're fighting the very Elohim who created us. Proverbs 15, in verse 31. It says, "The ear that hears the reproof of life shall remain among the wise. He who ignores correction despises his own soul, but he who hears reproof gets a sound heart. The fear of Yahweh is instruction in wisdom, and before honor is humility." Before honor is humility. So again, why do we go through life? Why does Yahweh allow us to go through 60, 70, 80 years in this life? To teach us this. To teach us that humility comes before honor. You know, to teach us to humble ourselves, to teach us our frailty. Isn't it amazing how it works that we're created, you know, as babies? And if you look at every single form of life that Yahweh created, within a matter of weeks, if not months, they're like adults. They're off on their own already, you know. They're weaned and they're doing things. For a child, it's not like that. A child, it's 15, 20 years, you know, that it takes for the child to be able to get out on its own. You know, if you left a child at 1 year alone, they would die. They couldn't support themselves. And then as you get into your 20s and your 30s, you've got all this strength, but up here, you have meshugana. You got nothing. You know, you haven't learned wisdom with it. And then as you get older, you know, what happens? You get the wisdom and you don't have the physical strength anymore. You know, my grandfather and grandmother, they had 15 children. And my uncles would always say, you know, my grandfather, you know, that was an older man, and he would teach them wisdom. That they're coming over here and there were strong guys and they're trying to lift this big rock. And three of them couldn't lift it. You know, my grandfather comes with a board and he wedges it under. 70-year-old man lifts it. Now we learned. My grandfather would hire somebody to come, whether it was putting electric in the house or whatever. He'd watch him once and for half a day. Pay him what he had to pay, let him go, and then he finished himself. Because he's watching. It's wisdom. He's watching how someone does it, a professional, and then he's knowing how to do it. And that's the same with us. It's wisdom. It's wisdom that Yahweh created this way. Fear of Yah leads to humility, but we have to have a corrective spirit. We don't want to be a Laodicean. Jacob, the fourth chapter. Jacob, the fourth chapter, in verse 4. He says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship of the world is enmity with Elohim? Whoever then purposes to be a friend of the world is enemy to Elohim. We just saw this from Garden of Eden. Or do you think that vainly the scripture says the pride dwelling in us lusts with envy? But he gives greater grace. Because of this, it says Yahweh sets himself against proud ones, but he gives grace to humble ones. And like we said, what is pride except a false worth? That's all pride is. It's giving us a worth we don't have because we're all in the same boat. You know, we all are dependent on the Creator for the breath we have, the blood in our veins for life. So we're all in the same boats. And all pride is giving a worth that isn't there, that's not real. So he is against proud ones, but gives grace to humble ones. Then submit to Yahweh, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Like I said, surrender, submission. Ooh, he said a bad word. He said a bad word. I think it's becoming a curse word now, maybe. You know how the new norm? You know, submission is like a curse word now. If you, when people get married, they take it out. Wife submit to the husband. You don't see that anymore in the marriage ceremonies because people don't want it. Then submit to Yahweh, resist the devil, and he will flee for you. Draw near to Elohim, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, sinners, and purify your hearts, double-minded ones. Be distressed and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy into shame. Be humbled before Yahweh, and he will exalt you. So you know what? It's humbling, but humility is the greatest food in this life. Because pride doesn't lead to anywhere. It may make you feel good at the time, but really, pride leads to emptiness. You know, it leads to emptiness. Humility, where you're surrendering to Yahweh and having His Spirit fill you, is the only thing that's going to give you any kind of lasting, you know, security in your life. So pride is nothing but false. False worth, love of self, must be closed with humility and surrender to Yahweh. And this is the reason why most of the 144,000 are from the third world. As Western society